The Detroit Pistons have made a trade for Bojan Bogdanović of the Utah Jazz. They sent Kelly Olynyk and Sabin Lee over to Utah. What does this trade mean? I did not see this coming. I thought this team was done making trades. We'll talk about all of this in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, you can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I'm your host, Kuka Hill. I should have started off with that first. I'm so excited. I didn't forgot my intro. I'm Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. Forget all the intro stuff. I'm too excited. We got to talk about this trade. So, listen, man, I had work this morning, and I was asleep. I wake up to multiple texts, multiple calls, multiple people DMing me, multiple people tweeting at me. Who wake up? You got to see this. And I kid you guys not, I could have sworn that Killian Hayes got traded. I thought Killian was out of there because of how many people had been reaching out to me and spamming me to wake up, see what the Pistons did. And I wake up. And I see the Detroit Pistons have made a trade for Bojan Bogdanović. They trade with the Utah Jazz, I should say. And they sent Sabin Lee and Kelly Olynyk. There's a lot of different angles that we got to talk about. But first, I just want to talk with you guys about how good of a player Bojan Bogdanović is. We'll talk a little bit later. Does this help them push for the play-in? We'll talk about lineups. What does this mean for the rotation? Who starts? Who sits? What positions people playing? All kinds of stuff like that. But again, like I said, I want to tell you guys a little bit first about how good of a player Bojan Bogdanović is. So, listen, Bojan Bogdanović is joining the Detroit Pistons. First of all, this trade was amazing, actually. I should start there. This trade was great by Troy Weaver. He gave up two players that may have not even been in the rotation. Sabin Lee was probably the worst player on the team. Listen, I know a lot of you guys like Sabin, but he was probably the worst player on the team. Had no future here. And Kelly Olynyk didn't have a clear route to minutes either. And I've been telling you guys for a minute now that Troy Weaver was going to do right by Kelly Olynyk, and now it looks like he's going to be starting for the Utah Jazz. I knew that was going to happen. He did right by Kelly. Great stuff by Troy Weaver. But getting Bojan, who is on an expiring contract for $19 million, the caliber of player that he is, this was an absolute home run move. I don't know why the Jazz did this, but this is a great move for the Pistons. Now I'm done saying that, let's talk about Bojan Bogdanović, the player. So listen, he joins the Pistons, and he's going to be the second best player immediately. He is the second best player on the roster, just like that. It's Cade and then Bojan. It's not even a discussion here. This past season, let's go over his last three seasons in Utah for one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Multiple years, I believe they were the number one seed in the Western Conference. But either way, they were one of the best teams each year in the Western Conference. He was a starter on these teams. And over the last three seasons, he shot 44% from the field, basically 45%, 44.7. He shot 40% from deep on nearly seven attempts a game. He shot 50% on all two-pointers, 88% from the free throw line, while averaging 18.4 points a game. That right there is easily the second best player on the Detroit Pistons. He's one of the best catch and shooters in the NBA. He's one of the best spot-up shooters in the entire NBA. If you go look at his synergy chart, excuse me. I'm so excited. I can't even catch myself. On spot-up opportunities this past season, he ranked in the 87th percentile, coming off screen, 71st percentile. As a pick-and-roll ball handler, 91st percentile. This dude is going to do great things for the Detroit Pistons. Now, is he like an elite player or something? No. But for the Detroit Pistons, he is going to be their second-best player, at least to start the year. Maybe Sadiq Bey has an outstanding third season and pushes past him. If he pushes past Bojan Bogdanović, that means great things for Sadiq Bey's development. But right now, going into the season, Bojan is easily their second best player on this team. He's probably one of their best. After Cade, he might be their best offensive player on the team. He is a legit piece on this team. He's a legit player. That dude can play. I'm telling you right now, the dude can play. On all catch and shoot opportunities, 77th percentile. All jump shots, 86th percentile. Off the dribble, 85th percentile. Like, this dude can just score. He's a tremendous shooter, scorer. He can score the basketball. This team did not have a they struggled with shooting this past season. We talked about the numbers multiple times. I'm not going to continue to tell you guys when you guys get annoyed with it, but they were historically awful shooting this past season. They were not a good scoring offense. They did not have a lot of spacing. And I can't say they did a lot to address it this offseason, at least the spacing concerns. But now they did with Bojan. He doesn't solve everything, but he is going to provide a lot of spacing, a lot of scoring for this team at a position that I don't think that they were relatively deep at. He's going to play the wing position. They might play him at four with Sadiq. Him and Sadiq might interchange. We'll talk about that later on in the podcast. I do think the rotation still is just as murky as before, but we'll talk about all that a little bit later on. But he provides something the Pistons have desperately needed on this squad. I love this trade. I love this trade so much. Like, it, I don't know how Weaver does this. I don't know how he pulls trades like this, but I love this trade. So I don't even understand why Utah would accept this trade. They don't get, it's not like Saben Lee's some prospect that they're really going to care about. I doubt that. And Kelly Olynyk, I don't know. I don't get why Utah did this, but I'll take it. And another thing that's great about this trade, moving past of who Bojan is as a player, how good he is, moving past that, going back to just the trade itself, he's on an expiring contract, $19 million a year. It sounds like, I saw multiple reports say, the Utah Jazz had multiple offers for first-round picks, but they didn't want to take on extra salary. Now, this is why I think it's going to happen for the Pistons, which makes this deal even more exceptional by Troy Weaver. I think by the time the deadline comes, which is usually when players become the most valuable anyways, at the deadline, they're going to flip him for a first-round pick. I think that's going to happen. Contenders are going to realize we need one extra piece on the wing to score an offensive weapon. We need him. Bojan Bogdanović, I think, is going to be the most hottest name on the market at the trade deadline because he's a really good player who can start for multiple contending teams. That's riding, I don't want to say riding away, but it's stuck on a rebuilding, restoring team. Teams are going to be calling for him all season, all the way up to the deadline. At the deadline, there's going to be contenders that want him. At the deadline, there's going to be teams that maybe didn't think they were contenders, but now are playing so well that they think if they add him to the team, they can maybe do something. He's going to be a hot commodity. I think they're going to get a first-round pick out of him. And if they don't get a first-round pick, I think they'll get multiple seconds maybe, or maybe even a young asset as in a player, maybe a late first-round pick and a player, or a second-round pick and a player. They're going to get assets out of him at the deadline. I can guarantee you that. I believe that wholeheartedly. So not only is Troy Weaver getting a guy who's going to help this team immensely for the first half of the season at the very least, maybe the whole season if they don't trade him, but at the very least the first half of the season, he's going to help this team win games. He's going to help this team play much better on the court. And then also when the deadline comes around, he may flip him for future assets in a draft. If he gets future assets in this upcoming draft, if Troy Weaver, I'm telling you this right now, if Troy Weaver somehow finds a way to get multiple first-round picks in this year's draft coming up, in this draft coming up, if he gets multiple first-round picks, look out. Look out, NBA. You give this man multiple first-round picks in a draft class like this one, if he gets that out of Bojan Bogdanović at the deadline, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for this team, man. It's going to be tough for the NBA. I love this trade, man. I don't know if you guys have seen me like this joyful since like the draft. This trade really was exceptional. I can't say it enough. I don't know why Utah did this. I really don't get why Utah did this trade, but I'll take it. Great stuff by Troy Weaver. I love it. And I think this trade does so many things. Usually some trades, they'll do some good things for you in some areas, but then there may be some drawbacks in the other. I can't see a single drawback. I think this helps in so many different angles. And speaking of that, let's get into some of these other angles, such as, does Bojan Bogdanović help this Pistons team push for a play-in spot? You guys know what my position has been on competing for the play-in. Have I changed my stance now that they've got Bogdanović? We'll see when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys a little bit about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your sports betting needs, including football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net, you will see that Jaden Ivey has the third highest odds to win Rookie of the Year. That's the kind of stuff you can already get a head start at. Rookie of the Year, MVP, Sixth Man of the Year, Championship odds, First Overall Pick odds, all that kind of stuff at BetOnline.net. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so look, you guys have known that my position on the Pistons pushing for a play-in spot or making the play-in, you guys know my position. I don't think that that's been a realistic outcome for this team. I think the Eastern Conference is just way too deep. I think even if you looked at every possible, like if you imagine like the best things possible to happen, it still would be tough because of how deep the East was. If they were in the Western Conference, I would change my tune because I feel like a lot more of the teams just straight up giving up are going to be in the West. But in the Eastern Conference, it's just so deep. I struggle to see any kind of outcome where the Pistons are realistically competing for a playing spot. With Miami, Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Toronto, Chicago, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Cleveland. That's nine teams right there that are very clearly going to be in the playoffs, I think. Then for the 10th spot, you got Charlotte, which I do see a scenario where Charlotte could maybe bottom out. But not New York, who just got Jalen Brunson and is going to be healthier this year. I think New York will probably be in the playoffs or at the very least be competing for it. And Washington, who has Bradley Beal, Kristaps Porzingis, and Kyle Kuzma, along with some other nice pieces. I think Washington will be competing for that. 12 teams right there that I just named that I think will be competing for the play-in spot. I think we'll just be better than the Pistons this season. Or at least that's been my position to you guys before. Does Bogdanović change that for me? He does a little bit. I'm not going to lie to you. He does a little bit. Now, listen. Bojan Bogdanović is not some superstar. He's not an all-star. He's not that good. But he is good enough to make me think that this team, he's good enough for me to think that this team may go from, okay, so give you guys an idea. I've told you guys before, I think the Pistons will win before this trade. I thought they would win 28 to 30 games. I think that's where they won 23 games last year. I thought they would see a 5-7 game increase this year. That's where I thought. I think that Bojan Bogdanović will take this team from that 28 to 30 win mark to maybe like 30 to 33 wins. So and if they get to 33 wins, do I think they'll be in the play-in at 33 wins? No. But I think that means that they'd be competing or be like on the outlook of the play-in spot. Like they'll be competing for it, I guess you could call it. Because I think 33 wins would probably have them around 12th in the East. And that's only like that's two spots off the play-in. So I guess you could call that competing for the play-in. And I think with Bojan Bogdanović, with what he brings to the team, scoring-wise, and being able to bring that spacing, he's so good at that. And I'm not kidding, guys. Go talk to some Utah fans. Go follow some Utah beat writers. Go follow some Utah analysts. Go talk to them. I've already spoke with a lot of them. They all absolutely love Bogdanović and were not happy that they – well, obviously they were blowing it up, but they were sad to see him leave because of how much they loved him on that team. He's a really damn good player. I'm telling you guys, if you don't know about him already, go watch some highlights. That dude can ball. I already read you guys the stats. 18 on 45, 40, and 88% shooting over the last 3 years. Those are in some insane splits for one of the best teams in the Western Conference. This wasn't a dude doing it on a bad team. This dude wasn't doing it on a rebuilding team. This dude was doing that on one of the best teams in the Western Conference. He's legit. So do I think that he makes them a play-in team? No, I don't think he makes them a play-in team. However, he makes it to where now, instead of me just envisioning like, okay, if this goes right, this goes right, oh, well, they'll still fall short. Now I can see, based on my position, is okay, he doesn't make them a play-in team, but if Cade takes like a big jump, like goes from where he was to like a guaranteed all-star, if Sadiq takes a pretty decent jump, if Killian takes a pretty decent jump, if if Jaden Ivey is an okay rookie. Listen, I've showed you guys this before. Most rookies, almost all of them, are never actually great NBA players. They're almost always never actually good NBA players. So if Jaden Ivey can be a good rookie, being a good rookie may be an okay NBA player. But if he can be a good rookie and all these other guys see decent jumps, now you have Bojan Bogdanović with those jumps and an okay rookie. Now I can see the future where if everything were to break right like that, I could see them maybe squeezing in at 10. If, and again, this would have to cause, they would still need help from other teams. Like Charlotte would have to basically give up, which is possible. Things would just have not to work out in New York, which I guess is possible. Even though I know people like to make fun of New York. I think New York actually is going to be pretty good this year. But I guess that's always a possibility with the Knicks. And then the Washington Wizards may just blow it up and get rid of Bradley Beal. Maybe that happens. And that always is a possibility with them. So if all, like, basically what I'm trying to tell you guys is, before I saw no outlook. I saw no way possible that a team led by 21 and 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, that just lost what probably was their best player in their offseason, by replacing him with a lot more young players. Before I thought there was absolutely zero way that this team's going to make the play-in. You don't see this kind of stuff happen, and the East is just too deep. It's not going to happen. Now that you add in Bojan Bogdanović, I can actually see a universe where it happens. Do I still think it's likely to happen? No. Do I think it's like 60-40? No. I still would say it's probably like 90. I think it would still be like 85-15%. Like they have a 15% chance maybe of doing it, 85-15. But that's a lot higher than what I was before. Like I was close to 0% before, guys. I'm not going to lie. You guys know. I have not thought that they had a legit chance of going for the play-in. I have never thought that. But adding Bojan Bogdanović and what he brings to the team, if they can get those kind of jumps from these other players, I could see the universe where they may be sneaking at 10. And I think, how about this? How about I say this right here? I think they definitely, it's much higher possibility now that I can see them competing for a play-in spot. What's competing? Finishing like the 12th seed. Before I thought they were going to be like the 13th seed. I think now they could possibly be 12th or 11th. I could see that now happening. So do I think they're going to make the play-in? Probably not still. I don't think it's likely. Do I think it's more of a possibility now? Yes. Do I see the universe where it could happen now? Yes. Do I think that they'll be competing or pushing for a play-in spot? After all I've said this offseason, it's going to be tough for me to say this now. But I think yes. I think Bojan brings what this team needs to a point where if these other guys take steps forward, and again, stuff has to break right for the Pistons, but if these other guys do take step forwards, I could see them being one of those teams pushing for the play-in until like the last month of the season. And then maybe at that point, they're like, okay, we're not going to make it. Let's tank and get a higher pick. But until then, I think this trade did it for me. And listen, you guys know this. For all you loyal listeners, all of you guys who show me support all the time, you guys know I'm not like some slappy. You guys know that I don't try to overreact to a lot of things. This is my honest reaction. I do think that Bojan Bogdanović makes this team a lot better. I do. I do think he's like the second best player on the team already. He is a really damn good player. And adding him with Cade, giving him that kind of spacing in the starting lineup, I think, and having that veteran experience closing games, if they choose to do that, if they're going for wins, if they try to push for the play and have him close games. You guys remember, I said that I thought the reason why the Pistons would lose the majority of their games is because young teams lose in the fourth quarter all the time. That's where they lose their games. Young teams don't win fourth quarters. They lose close games. That's what happens. Having a veteran like him closing with them, a veteran who's not a Corey Joseph, just a veteran, but not really that good. Having a veteran like him who actually is really damn good, I think that could help them close games. And I think that could help them better down the stretch in games. I think that right there is what could swing them like 3 to 4 games. So I love this trade, man. I'm higher on their chances, I guess, to push for a play-in. Don't go around quoting me saying I think they're making it. Don't get out of pocket, y'all. Don't get crazy. But I'm definitely higher on it now. I'm higher on their possibility of pushing for a play-in. If some other teams falter and they decide to call it quits on a season, punt, whatever, I can see the universe where the Pistons make the 10th seed now. Listen, man, I love this trade. I do. I really like this trade, and I'm really excited for this season. I was excited for this season beforehand for other reasons. I wasn't excited because I wanted to see wins losses. You guys already know that. I was excited to see these young guys play. I was excited to see the young guys get a lot of minutes. I was excited to see them all try to develop and grow together. I was really excited to see that. I'm still extremely excited to see that. But I think I might see some more wins now that Bojan's here. I can't lie. That makes me a little bit more excited. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I can't lie. But let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below. I already know that all of you guys were so excited and thought that the team was going into the play-in anyways before this. I called you guys crazy for it. But I can only imagine how you guys are feeling now that they got Bojan Bogdanović for basically guys who weren't going to be in the rotation. You guys got to tell me if you guys are excited, if you guys feel even more strongly about the Pistons pushing for a play-in. Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill. Now, when we come back, the rotation, it's still a little bit murky. We're going to try to discuss it and try to make some sense out of it when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or give us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Did I mention to you guys that I like this trade? I don't know if I told you guys that yet. Anyways, rotation. Now, this is the one thing I disagree with. A lot of the response I've seen from fans. A lot of fans have said, oh, this clears up the rotation so much more. It makes it make more sense. I completely disagree with that, though. I still think the rotation is still rather confusing and just as murky as before. So let's try to make sense of this. So I think the two guys you can pencil in as starters is Kaden Sadiq, okay? So you got Kaden Sadiq in the starting lineup. So I'm going to throw out random starting lineups to you guys, and then we're going to build off of it. So the first starting lineup that we're going to try to look at here, Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Bojan Bogdanović, and Stu. I think that lineup right there gives you nice spacing around Cade and Ivy. Stu is there for defensive purposes. I think that's really good. Those first four guys, really good offensive setup. I think that lineup actually is pretty damn good. I like it. I really do. So take those five guys. I think that would be a nice lineup. Now, what would be the bench lineup to that? And again, this is where it continues to get murky now. So I think Killian obviously is penciled in. Alec Burks penciled in. And then after that, Marvin Bagley's the only other one penciled in. Now, you guys know I love Isaiah Livers. I want to pencil him in, but I can't sit here and say that I'm guaranteeing that Dwayne Casey has him penciled in. But either way, in that starting lineup, the bench lineup I have is Killian Burks, Isaiah Livers, and then Marvin Bagley and Jalen Duren. And in that scenario, you're not playing Hamidou Diallo or Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox is not that big of a deal. But you're not playing Diallo any minutes. And that lineup, I think, is going to lack spacing incredibly. Bagley and Duren, I don't know how much they would fit together. And Burks and Livers are basically going to be the only guys on the floor that can shoot. So I think that's going to be hard. So then it's like, okay, is that how you want to do the rotation? Or now we go to the next option. Let's go to this next starting lineup. Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Bagley, Stu. You still go with Bagley and Stu. Try to go with Stu at four offensively. Bagley at the five, roll into the rim, and then swap it on defense. Let Stu guard the fives, Bagley guard the fours. Have that lineup with the two bigs, basically. And then instead of starting Bojan Bogdanović, you bring him out the bench. And then the bench has Killian, Burks, Livers, Bojan, and Duren. And I think that bench lineup actually makes a lot of sense. And that right there looks like it could be really lethal. However, this is the problem with this one. Starting lineup, even though I think a lot of us assumed that Bagley and Stu was the starting lineup before this trade. Still, the questions are with the spacing there, with Ivy too. And if K doesn't improve from outside, then the spacing really is going to be a problem. So there's the question there. Spacing is still going to be a massive issue for that squad. And then also, is Bojan Bogdanović going to accept a bench role? Like, I know a lot of people, I've already seen a lot of you guys tweet at me, a ton of you guys, say, oh, Bojan can just come off the bench. He'll be the sixth man. Is he going to accept that? Is he going to want that? Listen, Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver do right by their players, okay? They're going to do right by these guys, especially on a rebuilding team and a team that he 100% is going to be helping. A guy that just was averaging 18 points a game, on 45-39-84 splits last year for one of the best teams in the Western Conference. And like I said earlier, over the last 3 years for one of the best teams in the Western Conference, 18-45-40-88 splits. You're going to try to tell him, again, a starter doing that stuff on a contending team, you're going to tell him to come off the bench for a rebuilding team? I highly doubt that. Like, I refuse to believe that that's going to be something they ask him to do. If he was not as good of a player as he was, then obviously, yeah, you can bring him off the bench. But he's actually a really damn good player who was just starting on contending teams and still should be, honestly, for a lot of teams. I seriously highly doubt they tell him to come off the bench. Now, if he just comes out and is like, yeah, you know, I'll play off the bench. I don't care, blah, blah. Then, okay, I guess that happens that way. But I don't think he does that. If it was me, I think if most of us put ourselves in his shoes, there's no way in hell I'm going from starting for a contending team in my prime still and then coming off the bench for a rebuilding team just because. Not because I got worse or anything, but just because they want to bring me off the bench. There's no way in hell I see that happening. Some of you guys can continue to assume that happens. You guys can hope for that to happen. That's fine. But me, objectively speaking, I refuse to see that as a possibility. I don't think that's going to happen. It doesn't make much sense. I don't think he'd be down for that. Bojan, that is. I don't think he would be down by that. I don't think Dwayne Casey and Troy Weaver would force that upon him either if he didn't want that. So I don't see him coming off the bench. Though, like I said, that bench lineup does make a lot of sense. I really would like that bench lineup. But then, like I said, starting lineup is dealing with spacing then. So now what's another way you can do it? Do you go Cade, Burks, Sadiq, Bojan, and Stu? Or do you even go, like, I think this would be a really good lineup, but I doubt they do this one. Do you go Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Bojan, and Jalen Duren? Jalen Duren then would hopefully give you some kind of rim protection while also giving you the lob threat that you'd lack with that lineup with Stu. Do you go with that lineup and then do the Stu Bagley off the bench with Livers and Burks? Do you do that? Like, I still think there's so many questions with the rotation. Nothing was really cleared up. Someone's still not going to be playing, whether that's Diallo or Duren. Someone's not playing still. I don't think it got cleared up. And listen, this is still going to be one of the more interesting things I watch for this season with the Pistons. I do not envy Dwayne Casey's job right now because he has to figure out how he's going to do this rotation, how he's going to do it right, and who's not going to play. Who's going to be sitting out? Because someone, again, like I said, has to be sitting. He's not going to play 11-man, 12-man rotation. It's not going to happen. I think it's honestly more likely that he ends up going with a 9-man rotation than he does it with 11. Especially if at some point during the season, it actually looks like they may be pushing for a play-in. It's more likely that he goes 9-man rotation than 11, 12 deep. That's crazy. So someone's still not going to play. Nothing was cleared up there. The two guys that got traded were probably not going to be in the rotation anyways. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Let me know some of the lineups you guys are thinking about over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill, or in the comment section down below. Me personally, there's two starting lineups that I'd really like to see that I think would be really good. So first one would be Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Bojan, and Stu. I think that first one I said, I think that lineup right there would be really nice. I think they got a nice balance of offense, and then Stu tries to make up for it a little bit defensively. I've been told by Utah people, some of their beat writers and some of the people that watch Bojan, he's a better defender than you think, apparently. Apparently, he's a pretty decent defender. The question is that will he be game-to-game a decent defender, a fine defender for the Pistons on a rebuilding team? They say he picks it up much more in the playoffs and was one of Utah's best perimeter defenders in the playoffs on some of the elite guys. But that's in the playoffs. Will he maintain that game-to-game basis at 33 years old for a rebuilding team? I doubt it. I think he'll probably see that fall back a little bit more. I feel like that's just probably normal to happen. But either way, my point is I like that lineup. I think you get a nice balance. Another one I really like is the same first four guys, Cade, Ivy, Sadiq, Bojan, and then either Bagley or Duren. Because with Stu in that starting lineup, and then we'll wrap up the podcast after this, but with Stu with them, you don't have that lob threat. And I don't mean to make lob threat sound like it's just like the most important thing in the entire world. I don't want to sound like that it's all you need. But I don't think there's any way that any of us that watched Cade Cunningham after Marvin Bagley arrived, how different the offense looked at, how different Cade was able to operate with a lob threat versus when he didn't have one. I don't see how you can watch that and assume that he doesn't need one or not want him to have one. or make it a focal point that he has one with him in the starting lineup. I don't see how you do that. And that right there is a sticky situation, because do you start Stu, who brings you the defense in that lineup that's probably going to lack some defense? Or do you make the decision that that lob threat that you saw Cade with that he needs, do you say screw the defense basically? Or it's not that you're saying, you know, defense doesn't matter, but you're saying that the lob threat matters more. Do you go that route? Honestly, me, I would go the lob threat route. I can't see how great Cade looked and how great I think he's going to be with lob threats in his lineup. He needs someone to put pressure on the rim. I can't sit here and act like that. I don't think that that's a focal point. I think that has to be in a lineup with Cade. So if that means Stu doesn't start at five, then so be it, to be honest. That's just where I'm at. If you guys want to start Stu for the defense, I completely get it. I understand it. I'm not saying there's any wrong or right answers here. Just me personally, I there's no way you can watch how Cade operated with and without a lob threat last year and say that he doesn't need one, or that purposely not putting one in the starting lineup with him is smart. I don't see how you can do that. That's just me. But I do understand why you'd go with Stu in that lineup, at least, because of defensive purposes. But like I said, after all that, you guys see it's still murky. There's still a lot of questions. You don't know who's going to play, who's going to start, what positions that someone's going to play. Is Bojan going to be the four? Is Sadiq going to be the four? Are they going to play bench? Are they going to play bench starting three? Like, what's going to happen? You don't know. There's so many questions still with this rotation. I can't wait to see it all play out, what the answers are going to be. We're almost there. Media days, 5 days away. It's coming, man. It's coming. I can't wait. But yeah, man, I really love this trade. I don't know if I told you guys that yet. But thank you guys for listening to today's episode. Make sure you guys let me know about this trade, what you guys think in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you haven't already, leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on, man. I'm juiced. I'm not sitting here predicting play-in. I still don't think it's likely. But, man, listen, I can actually see the universe now. I can see the universe where it happens. I definitely see a few more wins on the horizon, and that makes me even more excited. I'm not going to lie to y'all. Not going to lie. Let me know your guys' excitement. Until the next episode, guys, I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, everybody. Peace out.